I said the Lord is good. If you're happy and you are glad that you are alive and well, this 2013, this is our first prayer meeting for the year. So if you're happy, say amen.
Amen.
So I'll answer you. I'll ask you again. So you give me a very warm answer. The Lord is good. All right. If you have your Bibles, can you just rise to your feet? I want us to read this portion of the scriptures together. Yes. On your feet. All right. Psalm 91. If you are there, say amen. I want you to read it like you believe it and read it, not shout through the roof, but read it like your neighbor must like your neighbor must hear what you are reading. Amen? So let's start together, Psalm 91 from verse 1. We are reading to the very end. Alright? Want to go, any version you have, just read it. It dwells in the shelter of the Most High, will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, or of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, that you do not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high, because he has known my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life, I will satisfy him, and let me see my salvation. And let him see my salvation. I read from the New American Standard. It's a very crucial psalm. I think you should read it once in a while. You should just wake up and start reading Psalm 91. It's very important. What I just want to explain to us again, you can sit down for a moment, then you will stand again when we begin to pray. We're going to be here for about an hour. Normally we start our prayer meetings in February. As January we take time to settle down. But I just felt this year like we should not waste any time. That as soon as we recommence our meetings, we should quickly just get into our prayer meetings because it's very important. I was in a church. I was invited for a, a prophetic meeting, yes, a church service on Sunday. And the man of God that was ministering prophetically, and he spoke again and again, and he will emphasize, do this before this particular date, and this is likely to happen, that pray so that it will not happen. A number of times he will give dates like in January and in March. And well, before I heard that, of course, we had already announced that we are having our prayer meeting today. We announced that on Saturday. But that, again, just for me, reinforced what I was thinking, that let us start praying early. Let's not leave things lying till February. All right? The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. You know, the whole of last year, we did only very few days of Bible exegesis on Tuesdays. Most of the days were prayer times. And I think it's the Spirit of God trying to help us understand that it's very important we pray. Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to get discouraged. Men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. You know, somebody forwarded something to my email today. A letter somebody wrote to Nigerians in diaspora. It's a very funny letter. I wish I could forward it to you to read. It's somewhere on the web. Telling people that, look, thank you very much. You've left Nigeria, but don't discourage us. We are not going anywhere. You understand? That don't remove hope from us. It's one thing that people need, hope. All right? And because of that hope that we have, which is born out of faith, actually, all right? And because it has been produced, we have to continue to pray so that the things that we have hoped for, we manifest manifest quickly is important. You know, if we are slack in praying about things, oftentimes what we cause is a delay in the manifestation. All right? So that's why I just felt that, look, let's start immediately. You know, like I said, last year, we didn't do too many of those days of school of Bible exegesis. I believe that the emphasis the Holy Spirit is placing upon our hearts is that we must pray. Now, listen to me. Let me say it again. Men ought how often to pray? How often? How often? Always. Now, there are two ways you describe always. Always is in time and in manner. Amen?
Amen.
What do I mean by time? Always is morning, afternoon, and night. You know, noon, in between, when you are sleeping. You wake up during the night, something woke you up, you pray. That's what always. All manners, all right? Again, it's pray lying down, pray while eating, pray laughing, pray crying, pray by giving thanks, pray by prophesying. But whatever it is, make sure your mouth is engaged in doing something. You know, on Saturday, I began to teach, and I explained that you have to be heaven-minded. And when we talk about that, we do not mean that you'll be thinking of, when I get to heaven, I'll have a big mansion, you know. Have you ever seen a rich man say that kind of thing, say, when I get to heaven, I'll have a big mansion? Some people have small houses on the earth. They are looking towards a big one in heaven. That's not what the Bible means when it says that you should be, you know, minded of things that are in heaven. What it means is that when you are looking at affairs of this earth, you should use a mindset of somebody who abides in the realm of the Spirit. And I said that heavenly realms have different levels. And many of the things that people practice, you know, occultism and all of that. You know, today my wife was giving me some stories about people who, you know, they know things. I said, listen, that those are low levels of occultism. Familiar spirits following up and down and reporting on other people. Are you getting my point? That's a low level of occultism. That the real level, the highest level, you know, it's very interesting. When Christians understand this, you see a man who can know things, you know, you just say your phone number, he calls your phone number for you, and you're impressed. You understand my point? Just because you have never known somebody's phone number. Let me tell you the truth. Those are not the high levels. What did I say? What did I say? Those are not the high levels. Let me ask you a question. Who operated more? Who operated at the higher realm? Was he Elisha or his servant when they were surrounded on the mountain? Elisha. Who saw the armies? Was it Elisha or his servant? His servant. The man that needs to see, his level is still low. There are some men that they are in a level where they don't need to see. They know what is there. I don't know what you're getting my point. Elisha didn't need to see. You understand? He knew what was there. It's a servant, they had to be show him something so that his mind will calm down. What am I trying to say? You don't need to feel before you know you're operating in the heavenly realms. All you need to do is take the word of God. Are you getting my point? He said, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Are you getting my point? Which is the word of faith with which we preach. That is, which we preach. Once you take that word, all right, whether you see visions or you don't see vision, whether you fail, you just woke up in the morning, something is shaking on your body, or you woke up very, very slowly. You know, some people open the boot very fast in the morning, but some people, they boot very slowly. Whichever way it is, once you have the word of God in your mouth, you are a heavenly fellow. Do you understand my point? Yes. And that's how we operate from the realm of the Spirit. We were talking about that on Saturday. So what I want to emphasize here again, all right, this after evening is this. The fact that Christians must be like that, we must understand that we are always constantly engaged in warfare. That's what I want to explain. And because we are constantly and always engaged in warfare, we must always, all right, be ready to fight. That's what the Bible talks about, the shield of faith. Life keep on uttering things for you, telling you, trying to, like that thing I told I was reading, trying to remove hope from you. People are always telling you things. You know, like somebody, the guy who wrote, he said that, how come you guys always blow up the negative things that occur, but you don't remember to blow up the positive things that occur? This is the reason. Because the whole world lies under the power of the wicked one. Are you getting my point? And the reason is that he's trying to weaken your faith. He's trying to reduce your confidence in your hope. And you have a duty to maintain that faith. You have a duty to fight back all the time. So when life gives you situations, they give you arguments on why you should fail, on why things will not go well with you, don't just sit down there and start reasoning that they're making sense. That's earthly reasoning. Are you getting my point? That's what? Earthly reasoning. What you instantly do is get up to the heavenly levels, and which is the word of God. You get my point? And begin to fight back. Remember what I said in that book, By Faith Acquire Life. Anytime you hear negative things about your life on the earth, it's not honest, it's not plain, it's not simple. These are echoes of what? Accusation. That's what I call them. Those are the things that Satan is speaking against you in heavenly realms. And what you need to do, okay, is to argue in your own favor. You must argue in your own case.
by taking the word of God and uttering back. Are you getting my point? And listen, and the word of God doesn't have to make sense. Sense conforms to the uttered word of God eventually. The word of God does not have to make sense. That is, it doesn't have to be reasonable. You know, once you can deduce it, it's earthly realm or first realm of the heavens, not the third heavens. The one that doesn't make sense, you see a man who doesn't have money, didn't go to school much, and suddenly just declared that this aviation self, one day we will control it and rearrange the flights to be very regular in Nigeria. That one is good. Amen? If that kind of word ever fell from your mouth one day, don't laugh at yourself. Remember it and continue to say it. Eventually, the events on this earth will cooperate to bring that word to pass. Please, I hope you are following the point I'm going to make. I'm going to emphasize something. Why would we always pray? Because we realize that this is not fight. What did I say? What did I say? I want you to answer me like you are here. What did I say?
Not fight.
Not fight. There are two kinds of wicked people on this earth, wicked beings on this earth. One, they are human beings. Second one, they are spirits. And the Bible calls them wicked spirits in heavenly places. They don't like the fact that you are sitting down here at peace. They don't like it. You came down, nobody's arresting you on the road. Nobody's shooting you. You just come to Bible study like that. You went to work like that. You think they are happy? And if they are not happy, those guys, they like to stir up trouble. They have trouble planned for 2013. They have trouble planned for 2014. They have trouble planned for 2015. Are you getting my point? Yeah, they do. But what do? It's simple. You wield the shield of faith and fight back with the sword of the Spirit. Listen, I was thinking about it. That was a few days ago. How do we resist the onslaught of the devil? There are three things you do. I hope I can remember the three. I wrote three down. Number one, and I'll try and remember. If I don't remember, remind me later to tell you the third one. Number one, resist every temptation of the devil. Number two, put the word of God. That's actually where I was going. Put the word of God in your mouth always. Or in the third one now. And if I remember it, I'll tell you. Now, I'm bringing an issue here. You do those two things continually. When I preached, somebody said, I was talking about Delilah will come into your life. You can't help it. You can't help it. You will meet your Delilah one day. And I didn't say men. No. Every human. Delilah is not a woman. I hope you understand that. Delilah is a what? Spirit. What did I say? It's a spirit. Men meet their Delilah. Women meet their Delilah. It's a spirit. So once I was preaching once. And you know, I think that was in one campus somewhere in Anambra State. I think Federal Polytechnic. Oku, I think so. And one young man asked the question afterwards. That how will I know my Delilah? The idea is that so that I won't fall for her. Because we analyzed the life of Samson. Samson met Delilah. And you know what happened to him? Delilah did not only remove his hair, remove his eyes, and then remove his head. You know what I'm saying? Eventually he died. That's the point I'm trying to make. Alright? So I was warning people about Delilah. So tonight, Bobo fear. And you should be afraid. You know what I'm saying? So he wanted to know how he would identify his Delilah. So when he finds her, you kill her first. That kind of thing. And I said to him, I do not have any biometrics with which you can scan your Delilah when she comes and identify her. Because that's actually not the message. The message, this is why I'm talking about that now. The message really is that Samson, don't lose your strength and you don't have to know whether you have met your Delilah or not. Are you getting my point? That is when Samson weakens his spiritual energy. That's when Delilah takes him down. If Samson does not weaken his spiritual energy, Delilah will never take him down. Bring an issue here. Sometimes so people want to know what is the devil planning against me. That's what I'm talking about. That's this issue of Delilah. I'm telling you again, you don't need to know. What did I say? You don't need to know specifically. Many battles have been fought, all right, over your life. That you are not consciously aware of them. So what do? Just like I said about Samson, make sure you are strong. Make sure you don't lose your spiritual strength. In the same manner as believers, we keep on fighting our warfare as prescribed in the scriptures. One, we resist every temptation of the devil, whichever way it comes. And number two, we are always firing off the sword of the Spirit. We are always quenching the fiery darts of the wicked one with our shield of faith. That is, once things are uttered, all right, just respond. Listen, hey, I don't want to teach too much. I want us to take that scripture, this Psalm 91. And there's a reason why we read it, all right? Let me try not to teach too much. But the point I want to make here is this. The devil can't do anything really to you. You sitting there listening to me, Christians who have been hearing the word of God, without suggesting it to you first. Has God really said? That's where he comes from. All right? And don't forget what I said. You know, you'll get a mail from me this evening. Just something I've thought about before. I titled it, Are you rich toward God? All your giving is always in church, in ministry, to a pastor. That is all. You understand my point? Okay, maybe not all, maybe 99%. Most likely you are not a generous person. Most likely you are trying to bribe God. That is why the poor never gets anything from you, but the church gets from you all the time. Amen? Amen. What I'm telling is the truth, all right? There's a reason why I just mentioned that. I want to just use to explain something, okay? Now, so I said, listen. The people who behave like that is because they think God is only in those places. But we must learn to recognize that God is in many places. Are you getting my point? And if you see in the scriptures, when Jesus wanted to describe the way he will come disguised, he said he will come disguised as the least of these my brethren, these my little ones. So many people have given to God, they think. Meanwhile, they refuse to give to God when he came. Are you getting my point? There's a reason why I'm saying that. There's a reason why I'm explaining that. Or I want to use it to explain something. Also, in the same manner, many people... Now, you've gotten the concept there. God is not only in church, and is not only inside a man of God when it comes to receiving offerings. It comes in many ways. Of course, he's in church, he's in a man of God, but he's also in an ordinary person on the road who's just poor, who's just hungry. Now, let's turn it the other way around. Satan is not always in a shrine. Did you hear what I said? Yes. If you're following me, say amen now.
Yes.
Why are you doing like you're not following what I'm saying? Satan is not always in a shrine. Just like God is not always in the church. People think that Satan, and it's only when you see one man on the road with one red band on it, and he says, look at it, he's a servant of the devil. Servants of the devil, they're all over the road. Some of them are your friends. They come to your house, you give them bed. How do I know they are Satan's agents? Wait till they start talking. I'm just advising you as a friend. They say you can only marry a Christian. Who told you only Christians are children of God? I'm just advising you as a friend. Listen, it's not because of your pastor. Just drag him to your church for a few weeks. You see what I'm saying? Tell your neighbor, that's Satan. That is Satan. You are waiting for one old man in the village to be casting spell. They say that he's casting a spell upon you. No. You see, in fact, you know the joke I crack all the time. A lot of big men who go to pastors for prayer against all the witches worrying them. Then the original witch waits for them inside the car. They come and they are fighting. All the witches that want to get, they won't get you. The real witch that's eating his liver. The real witch that's using his kidneys to do suya. You know kidney suya. She's waiting in the car. And she's the one rubbing his back, understanding all his pains. Because his own wife is a very wicked, she's a witch. The wife at home is a witch. This is a kind girl. You get my point? Meanwhile, she's the real witch he does not know. You see why I'm saying this? We're talking about warfare. You go to churches, and they're saying, hey, all the Ogboni people, listen, most Satans are not in the Ogboni. Most evil spirits are fighting you. They don't know the road to a shrine. In fact, they don't even believe in the devil. There are nice people that work in offices. I hope you know what I'm saying. They work with you in office. They don't do any seriously bad thing. They don't. They don't use bad language. It's when it comes to counseling you in life, that is where they operate. They start telling you, in fact, this is how you know them. Once it is, has God really said, just know that is what? Satan. You don't need... Forget how he or she is dressed. And you know, I told you this one last year, and I'm sure you know it. And the church I went to on Sunday, I was very happy when the man of God was preaching. And he also said that to my wife, I'm excited. Somebody else is saying this thing. That most of those babalawos of those days, they now are pastors. Yes. This is the funny part. The babalawos, that is the, you know those people, the Dibias, they now operate deliverance ministries. It's not funny. Wear a suit, carry a Bible, and operate deliverance ministry. So if you are waiting to see the devil in a shrine, forget it. We're talking about we're talking warfare. So most people, they don't understand who their enemies are. Many people have gone to the homes of their enemies to pray against their enemies. Man of God, pray for me. That's your real enemy. I got another message today. Somebody forwarded the message to me. He said, God, see you. I read it. A pastor, in quote, he said to me, I think the man is a 419 man. But I've not had time to reply. I said, no. He may not be 419. He may just be a stupid man. It happens. There are stupid people in ministry also. It's not only in business you have stupid people. There are many stupid people in ministry. So don't just hear this. That the pastor told a couple about to marry, a man and a woman, that he is a more important spiritual authority in the life of the young woman, that the man is only the head in domestic affairs. All I did was laugh. Tell your neighbor, Satan. That is Satan. Spiritual warfare, people are waiting to go to the shrine. You know, you go and surround where the evil spirits do sacrifice. You'll not be casting them down. Some people in the choir behind you. Oh, the Lord is good. Go and read Rejoinder, Final Quest, and The Call. You don't understand what I'm saying. Read those two books. So when I'm talking about spiritual warfare, stop trying to identify. That's the point I'm making. That woman, the way she looks at me, any time I drive past, that's why I had an accident. I've always known in that house, the worship of Ogbanje spirit. And that is why I'm having problems in my house. Ogbanje spirit next door is giving you problems in your house. You should know you have a serious problem before they came. You had it. If you're a real child of God, they should have been complaining that pastor next door. You're not even a pastor. You're just a normal human being. But the spiritual force around you should have been causing them sleeplessness. And then for park before their rent expires. Not to come to church. Say, come and bind the spirits in the next house. What am I saying? People often are waiting to be able to. But the truth is that, just like God is not only in church, Satan is not always in a shrine. Most Satans in this world today, they don't join the occult. Most who are in the occult, they are looking for money. I hope you know that. They are not trying to cause you trouble. They are looking for protection for themselves. The people who are really fighting you, the people that Satan indwells, some of them are your friends, some of them are your bosses at work. This is the sad part of it. Some of them are even your parents. How do you describe the operation of Satan? Anyone who tries to subvert the authority of the word of God in your life is working for Satan. If you heard me, say amen.
Amen.
I hope you are following me. Please, I hope you are following me. Anyone who tries to subvert the authority of the word of God in your life is working for Satan. Alright, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So anyway, what I've said in all of these things, I hope you followed it. And that's the fact that spiritual warfare is a constant battle. It's not only when you see an Ogbanje spirit crossing the road that you now park your car and bring out your spiritual gun. No. That's what I'm trying to say. You are driving with a friend. He utters something that is not in line with the word of God. Draw out your spiritual gun. What did I say? Draw out your spiritual gun. Say, I should kill my friend. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. They are mighty through God. For what? The pulling down of strongholds, not the killing of our friends. That's what I want to emphasize. We wrestle not against friends and people who can see, but against principalities and powers, which often speak through some friends. That's what I'm saying. How do I know? It's in the scriptures like that. There was a time Jesus was trying to explain the divine order, the purpose of God for his life. And you know what happened? Satan jumped inside the friend, the very close friend and ally of Jesus Christ, Peter, and said, that word will not come to pass. You will not follow the will of God for your life. No, we know you were born for this, but we don't care. It must not happen to you. Peter did not know. He was just cooperating. Jesus had to wake him up. Oh boy, you are working for the devil. I assume that's when the guy woke up. I said, what did I say just now? You were operating for Satan. Which kind of gun did he bring? Did you see this poster I saw recently? Operation Point and Kill. Now, church, you heard of the, I see the pastor post like this. This witch must die. Now, poster. The other one I saw, Koboko Night. Come with your Koboko. What I want to do, I'm going to Koboko the devil. No, that was not what the Lord Jesus did. His utterance all the time, all right, was simple. It is written. What did I say? It is written. That is why it doesn't have to cause quarrel between you and your friend. If you say, listen, you know, the way things are going, I don't understand. There's no hope for any young man or young woman in this country. And you answer him simply, it is written. Those that wait upon the Lord, or those that seek the Lord, shall not lack anything good. Don't be tempted to say, let me not just offend him. It's true. In fact, I've been feeling bad recently. And I said, don't mind, I didn't believe that thing. I was just saying because he's present. The Bible says, don't say before the messenger of God, it was an error. I'm emphasizing the fact that spiritual warfare is constant. It's every time. You wake up in the morning, your body starts fighting. You have headache only on this left side, around the middle. You not reach back, you not reach front. And then you give it a name. And whatever name Adam gave the living creature, that was his name. I think I have migraine. And that becomes a name. I don't know what you're planning on saying. That's the power. That is the authority that Christians have. You wake up. This is the seventh time this is happening. Last year, January, I remember very well because it was immediately the day after the New Year celebration. It was January 2nd. It happened like this. It was narrow at that time. Then the other one, I remember it was around May because this was the day we were preparing for Easter weekend. It expanded a bit. You know, remember my birthday? You know, I didn't come out on time. It was this same headache. You know what they are doing? You are giving it what? A name. If there's a Satan in front of you, he'll cooperate and say, it's true. It smells like migraine. It feels like migraine. It looks like migraine. Anything that smells like, feels like, and looks like migraine is migraine. I think you have migraine. And you say, yes, I agree with you. Let's join hands and thank the Lord that. Now, when we're doing this, we don't know. We're just talking normally. You should see a doctor before you die suddenly. You have migraine. Then sit and say, so I'm welcome here. Say yes, you're welcome. You can come anytime I feel angry or tired. After a while, you realize that anytime I'm angry and tired like this, usually that is when, are you getting my point? You are describing it. You soon get used to it. The guy will park and come to your house. You know what you didn't realize? Because you thought it's only when we get to the shrine, when we get to Okija shrine, we now bring our spiritual kuboko and start fighting. You woke up in the morning, accusations were rising up against you, and you were confirming it, and you hired the Satan to agree with you. You didn't realize that you woke up into warfare. Are you getting my point? What should we have done simply when things like that occur? Himself took my infirmities and my diseases. By his stripes I've been healed. This headache, you can't steal. Not here. You know, you have not brought down the heavens in prayer. This headache today, you will go today. That's not bad prayer. I'm just saying it's unnecessary. Because now you have to wake up, you have to fast. Yes, you have to fast. Say, when is it? This headache was yesterday. Okay, let me give another one day so I can have enough time to fast. You know, devil does not fast though. I hope you understand that. Doesn't take time out to fast before he attacks you. He's just going around looking for whom he will devour. Who he will whack up. That's what he's looking for. What am I saying? You wake up like that, it doesn't have to be a long prayer, you know, agitation, gymnastics. You just respond. The way he tried to suggest coolly, you too, you answer coolly. You think Jesus was there in the wilderness and say, listen, man shall not live by bread alone. I say, oh, he's a prayer warrior. He's praying. Depart from here. Praise God. He has gone. No. As the guy whisper around, now say whisper around back, are you getting what I'm trying to explain? That's just what I'm making. So you are still feeling sleepy, and that's your segmental headache is trying to manifest. And you just nicely and segmentally talk to it also. That, boy, this head can't contain two of us. I need this head for thinking, for praying, for meditating, for giving God glory. And it has been redeemed. So find somewhere else and go. Himself took my infirmities and my diseases. By his stripes, I have been healed. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you. And that's it. Coolly. Spiritual warfare. I think Christians, one of our problems is that we are too external in our, you know, in our behavior. Everything is too... If you are not shouting the house down, you are not really praying. If you want to cast out a big demon, you get loudspeakers. You know, all over town now, you see a church, there are four people inside. They have a loudspeaker. No, we are very nice here. We have only one speaker inside here. And the volume is down so that it doesn't echo. If you say I did ready, well. You know, we have two speakers, two good ones. One is permanently disconnected. I'll put one in front. Why? The louder the speakers, the more effective the ministry. You know, it's a lie. We carry that to our prayer life also. So we can't respond to the devil until we have gotten ready. And I think a lot of times we lose the advantage. Let me just summarize it like that. I'll pray about this thing later. Let me give you some time. This headache has been disturbing me for the last 6 months. I want to give it another 3 months to get ready to drive it away. My emphasis is that spiritual warfare is when? Continually. It's continual. It's continual. It's continual. Satan manifests every way. It doesn't only show from shrine. Forget that one you see in Mount Zion on television. Anytime I see Mount Zion, do all those people that paint their faces, I'm discouraged. Bro Zion, don't be angry with me. There's a reason why I'm saying so. I think you should modify that. You should modify it. Most of the Satans don't wear red and black. They wear Armani suits. You get what I'm saying? The female Satans use Mary Kay. They dress very nicely. And there are different ones. Some of them dress as if they go to deeper life to catch those who go to deeper life. And some hang out 8 hours downstairs to catch guys. Oh, you think Satan left you alone because he went to church? No. So when I see all the painting of Satan, I feel like I understand that they will now put black thing on the teeth. Devil has nice white teeth, let me tell you. You can't identify Satan by the teeth. That's just what I mean when I say that. When I see those movies, I'm not happy. I think you should depict Satan the real way that Satan is. You understand my point? Nice guy. Yes, a lot of times, nice guy. There are different kinds of Satan. Like I told you, there are nice guy Satans that live with Esau. You know Esau in the Bible? He didn't use a cause problem for anybody. Jacob was the troublemaker. But Satan had more time in the life of Esau. Then there are some other Satans that are armed robbers. You know, like they use the smoke. They use cocaine. You know, they go to bad places. All of them are Satan. Once they try to subvert the word of God in your life. Are you getting what I'm saying? And I want you to understand that spiritual warfare, therefore, is continual. Like I was saying earlier, you don't have to be able to identify somebody or what you call attack. You don't have to be able to identify it. What you do is to constantly, remember the story of Delilah, the young man asking me whether how you will identify this Delilah. I said, you don't need it. Just maintain your strength. Make sure you don't lose your strength. You don't lose, you get what I'm saying? You don't lose that spiritual fortitude that the Lord has given you. If you don't lose it, and your name is Samson, let them send after you 1,000 Delilahs. You won't even know. You may be able to identify one of them, but you won't even know they were Delilahs. You will overcome them and you continue going. In the same manner as believers, we keep the shield of faith up constantly. And we are always wielding the sword of the Spirit. And then any Satan that runs against it is on his own. You understand what I'm saying? That's it. And that's the principle. Alright? If the Lord makes it clear to you that there's a specific Satan to attack, then go after it. Go after it. Otherwise, constantly, we put up the shield of faith and then keep on shooting with the sword of the Spirit. Now, the Lord is good? I said the Lord is good. If you are following me, say amen. Alright, so we read a particular scripture. I just wanted to emphasize that. So, I was saying when I started that this Psalm 91, open your Bibles to it again. Now, I've taught from this verse 1 again and again. Let's just review what we have said in previous times. Use that to pray. He said, he who dwells... Let me just use King James. He said, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Now, remember, I will explain this one, but let me just go over it again. He said, he who dwells. I said, this is how God did it. He said, the man, a person can make the conscious effort to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And the consequence is that God will cover that person with his shadow. That is, you and I, there are things we will do that will cause God to spread his shadow over us. And what does it mean to have the shadow of God over somebody? Now, it's the way we can easily understand it is when you see the story that Daniel, the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had and Daniel had to interpret. He saw a tree, you understand? And the tree had big branches and a lot of leaves, all right? And then the birds of the air, they were coming to hide under its shadow. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why they were living. What does that mean, therefore? If you look at that interpretation, what it was saying is that this great king has become a source of provision for a lot of people. It's a source of security for them. So that's just simply what it means when I'm talking about being under God's shadow. That is, God will be your defense. He will be your provider. Very important, all right? Those are the things that God will do for you. And I said that for you to have that experience, you consciously dwell in his secret place. And how do you do that? It's in verse 2. It said, I will say of the Lord. Some versions say, I will say to the Lord. But they are saying about the same thing. So I will say of and to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Now you notice something here. We described this before, talking about the praises of God. Later on we'll get into it. Okay, we started it already. Talking about the power of knowledge, all right, in the realm of the spirit. What that means. Now, the name, all right, that you call God in your life is what describes, or let me say, that's what opens the door for what he will do in your life. Do you get what I said? It's the name that you call God. Anything, any name you give somebody or anything, they try to fit that role in your life. If they have the abilities, fine. If they don't have the ability, then you're in trouble. But as believers, what we do all the time is to call God the name, all right, that he bears in a particular situation in our lives. Now, listen to me to one music here with Israel yesterday. We're walking here. Yesterday and the day before yesterday. And when we're walking, I'll be hearing, what's that word again? Mekedishki is your name. Jehovah, Jehovah, Mekedishki. After a while, I said, Israel, what is that? He says, Mekedishki. I said, what is Mekedishki? Now, I thought I would have investigated before getting here, but I forgot. Israel, have you gone to find out? Oh, Bishop, they say you are the one that brought the music. I'm not saying it's bad music, or it's Hebrew. I'm sure it's a Hebrew word, all right? So the song is very nice, Mekedishki. So anytime it comes up Mekedishki, I start laughing. So I said, look, guys, when you want to pray, please avoid this Mekedishki thing. It's a good it's a good song, really. It's nice, all right? Uh-huh. It's very nice. It's the name of God, except that you don't know the meaning. You know, you just go there. You wake up in the morning, hallelujah, Father, I want to worship you. Mekedishki, Mekedishki. God, are you talking to me? He said, Lord, yes. What did he say? I said, Mekedishki. What does it mean? You have no idea. I know it's Hebrew. It's a good name. Are you getting my point? Except that you don't know what it means. You don't know what it means. Now, I keep on telling Christian, be careful. When you want to praise God, don't embarrass him. All right? Sometimes people say, praising God, are you talking to me? Say, you mean you have to ask whether I'm talking to you? Was that not your name I mentioned? No, you said Mekedishki. Anybody can be Mekedishki. Depending on what you are talking about. Are you getting what I'm saying? No, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, rather than speaking Hebrew, if you can speak Hebrew, it's good. All right? It's good. It's just a language, all right? It's just as good as if you spoke Kanuri. Both of them are good languages, all right? As long as it's coming from your heart. What's more important? This is the point. What's more important is that, you see, life presents challenges all the time. Let me just quickly say that. And in each challenge, in each situation, there is a name that God bears. And the name that's real to you is that name that you call God in that situation. I listened to Miles Moore long ago explain that. He said that when God sent Moses, Moses asked the Lord, "Who should I say sent me?" Derek Prince explained part of it. God said to him, "I am that I am." So when you get there, Derek Prince said, "Tell them that he is sent you." And Miles Moore explained it like this, that what he was saying is simple. That when Moses asked, "What is your name?" That God was saying, in effect, that my name is big. Where do I start from? Where do I stop it? So I'll give you that name that it will manifest when you get to different situations. Are you getting my point? So at the point in time, he became the bread of life. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's it. So when they are hungry, to the people, God becomes the bread of life. That's what I was trying to explain. Then when they are in distress, it becomes their defense. When they are in lack, he becomes their provider. Are you getting my point? So that name is open all the time. And like I say all the time, there are things that did not happen then. For example, Moses was not able to decipher God the programmer because he never saw a computer. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. So no matter the revelation Moses had, Jehovah the programmer never came to his mind because he had never been in a situation where he had to crack some difficult codes when it came to computer programming. Are you getting my point? The physicist, this mathematician who has to, you know, do real equations and, you know, integration and calculate in different dimensions, there's a part of God he knows Moses never found out. Because all these calculations, I'm not sure say Moses, he don't pass a few sighting of stars and stuff like that. But when he enters into PhD physics level, there is a name that God bears there. Are you getting my point? He said, "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall experience the provisions of the Almighty." How do you dwell in the secret place of the Most High? It's simple. Every point in life, he said, "I will say of the Lord, my refuge, my fortress." All right? That is, there is a name he's bearing at that time. Call him that name, you will experience the shadow of the Almighty. Not just mechanical now, you know, that I just say something, say, okay, this is a code to use when you get there. No, it's a conscious, deliberate utterance. You call somebody what he really is to you. Listen, 2013, of course, the new year is a good time. We use the beginning of the year to make a readjustment in our lives. Remember I said something before, we talked about then, praying to change your seasons. That seasons change because people change. It's not the season that changes people in the seasons of their lives. Before you can move from one level to the other, God will have, through direct teaching and interpretation of experiences, reconfigured your heart to be able to experience the next level. It's when he has finished doing that you are open to the next level, that you move to the next level. So if your season must change, you sit down and work on your heart until your heart changes. Are you getting my point? Very important. I don't want to go over that now, but we'll just bear that in mind. But as we step into a new year, into a new season, the way we ensure that we are covered by the Almighty throughout is by constantly elevating his name over every situation. Are you getting the point I'm making? Listen, it's very important. Let's take Nigeria as an example. Of course, this happens all over the world, but we are here, so we know the problem in Nigeria firsthand. You talk about Boko Haram as an example, all right? The problems of Boko Haram, bombing here, shooting here. Yesterday, I read again, two policemen killed in Kano by armed men. We just assume it's Boko Haram, all right? So we start asking, what is the president doing? Then ignoramuses will join hands together. Let us call for the resignation of the president because of the affliction called Boko Haram. Let me just tell you something quickly. If you're a Christian, don't join. I'll see the reason in a moment. And you see people, if you come in the evening, after a close Bible study, you want to hear Jesus, don't go home too early. Go closer to that 8 hours. Wait for like 2 hours into the 8 hours. When men have gone through two or three bottles, then that time their tongue will be loose. And they just start hearing what they think about what's going on in the country.
and they have all kinds of solutions to Boko Haram. If you're a believer, don't join them. And that's one reason why you must not drink, you know? Because when you just start worshiping Satan with your mouth, you won't know. They do it all the time. I'm going to bring an issue here. Believers understand. Because people didn't say, what is SSS doing? If it is CIA right now, this, they forget that CIA was there when 9/11 happened. FBI did that. American children are shooting themselves every day. You say, I don't know what's going on in Nigeria. You know, America. You know what they are saying, in effect? The reason, the thing that will stop Boko Haram is a more effective police, more effective SSS, more effective military, and that's a lie. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. And I know from the scriptures, the Bible says, He is God that makes wars cease. I don't know whether you know what I'm saying. If you have to utter, I mean, it's painful. You get heard that a church got blown up and 25 people died and 70 people were injured. It's very painful. And those are the things they call temptations. What did I call them? Temptations. Remember, temptations are called temptations because they are what? Tempting. They are tempting. They want you to say something that shows that God is not the one that provides security. It's Nigerian police. They want you to say something. All right, that's the temptations of life that says that it is not God that's in charge of the affairs of men. It's Jonathan that's not doing things properly. But as believers, remember we said there are different levels. We operate from the level in which we understand that it's God that makes wars cease. So what do? We lift up our voices to Him in prayer. There are different ways He will manifest His power. Sometimes you see improvements in security. But you know, there are times in which security does not improve. The threat just disappears. You know it happens? Go and read the different stories in the Bible. The time that, what is his name? Ezekiah was being threatened by Sennacherib. What improved in Judah? Nothing. God just did it that the people just packed their load and disappeared. Sometimes the man that's causing the problem somewhere, when you pray here, God will make him fall sick of malaria. What did I call it? Malaria. And die of headache from malaria, cerebral malaria. And then his camp will scatter. That's one way. Sometimes he improves security, he leaks secrets, and you see army carry gun, and police carry gun, and they go and fight. After 1 month, the fight is over, they've killed all the enemies. That's one way. But don't let that deceive you. To start thinking that safety is of Nigerian army. No. The Bible makes it clear to us that what? Safety is of the Lord. I'm giving us a practical thing about, I will say of the Lord, my refuge, my fortress. Please, I hope you are getting the point I'm making. This is how we take charge of every month, of every quarter, of every week of the year. What we call God over each of those seasons. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? If you are traveling, say, make sure your car is very good though, because the roads are bad. You need very good brakes. Once your brake is good, you have no problem. Ah! You realize that if you brake too fast, you somersault easier. You know, it's good when a car has airbags. At least the driver is comfortable. He knows that nothing. You forget that all the airbags deployed, Dodi Alfayed and Princess Diana still died. Are you getting my point? When we are traveling, a good car is good, amen? In fact, you don't want your car to break down on the express road. Like one of my friends said, you stand like this and you just as all the other cars are passing. But a good car does not guarantee safety. I will say of the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. If I'm in a good car, I thank the Lord. If it is now important that I travel and the only car available is not so good, I still thank the Lord. But safety is still of the Lord. The Bible says it can save by a multitude, it can save by a few. Are you getting the point I'm making? This is how we dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. That's how we do it. That's how we do it. Somebody's looking for a job, say, who have you spoken to? No. If somebody comes up to talk to, fine. But whether you get the job or not has nothing to do with who you spoke to and who you did not speak to. You are getting the point I'm making? What do we do over the jobs? Over our lives, we elevate and magnify the name of God. Remember what I said earlier? Spiritual battle. Very important to understand it. Spiritual battle is not only when we stand up like this. Somebody get ready, want to fight. No. Subtle talk. People just talk to you. Situations come up, you have to respond to them. And what Satan is doing is, look, that's the main thing. He's trying to wear down your faith. He just wants you to utter words that show. Because if that doesn't happen, he doesn't have any way to enter. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He just wants to utter words that shows that your confidence is not totally in God. You are getting the point. He just wants to utter a word. For example, boy, how is he doing? He said, man, ever since I left school, God, if my children have to go to school now, I'll make sure they work hard to come up with at least a second class upper. Because this third class has been my problem in this, my life. Satan says, thank you very much. Thank you. I'm happy. Give me a hug. You're my friend. You have agreed with me now. That certificate is the key to success. And since you don't have a good one, you're under my control. Are you getting my point? There are statements you don't make because you are saying the opposite of the Lord is my refuge and my fortress. How are things going? You know, people interpret things based on the understanding or lack of understanding in their heart. You understand that? There are those who, their own lives, that thank God I didn't finish that school. Because if I finished it, I would have gotten a good job. And this great business that with which I'm employing thousands today would not have started. Praise the Lord. Remember this man's story I told you about before, John Johnson's, the founder of Ebony Publications. When Ebony Publications became, I think when they turned 50 or so, I can't remember whether it's 25 or 50, one of those years, yeah. The speech, I think it was 50, the speech he made was, he wanted to thank three people that made it possible for him to be the sole owner of Johnson Publications. Because, you know how they made it possible? They refused to give him the money he asked for. I don't know whether you heard what I said. By that time, the company was worth hundreds of millions of dollars. He said, I want to thank them today. 50 years ago, the people are still alive and well. They did not give me the money I asked for. Therefore, today, I'm the sole owner of this great corporation. If they had given me the money, they would have taken 25, 25, 25%. I would have held 25%. But they refused. So let's give the Lord, I'm adding my own words now. Let's give the Lord thanks. Let's worship God because they refused. But you know, some of them will say, at that time, I wanted to do a business. So human beings are wicked. They are wicked. I went and begged all of them for money to just invest so we can do this. Do you know nobody agreed? That's the reason why I'm a failure today. Human beings are wicked. This wickedness of men is more powerful than the power of God in my life. So they were able to keep me down. Rejoice with me that men were able to keep me down. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? You didn't get that job? Don't mind my uncle. Don't mind my uncle. That's how people are. I asked you a simple question. I didn't ask about the wealth of any member of your family. I asked you a simple question. Did you get that job? He said, don't mind my uncle. If I call him, he'll tell me I'm busy. You know what you have done? You have closed the next job. That is, it's not that last one that's the issue now. Satan has pocketed that one now. It's the next one you are fighting over. So your testimony over the last one is what is determining what the next one will be. Next one you apply for, you say, you know, your uncle not even know anybody for here. In fact, your auntie has resigned, is retired, your father is abroad, you know, you're on your own. In fact, just don't bother apply. Once I went to the man who used to repair generators, I was in the shop there. So that there's a lady that coordinates activities for him there. I don't know what happened that day. She suddenly discovered that I worked in UNTH.
work in UNTH? I said, yes. He said, I did not know. I'm like, sorry, what's the problem? That recently they were employing people. I thought if I didn't know anybody, so I didn't bother to apply. If only I knew that you were there. I didn't know where to start. Anyway, it is gone. Forget the matter. Of course, even if you knew I was there, what could I do? I was not amongst people employing people. But this young woman did not even try. Simply because she said to herself, I do not know anybody. Let me end this, my plenty talk, which was not supposed to be plenty, with the story I told here before. One of our brothers, he's still a friend of the ministry today, one of our very good brethren, was in Enugu some time ago. He worked here for a while. He told me a story once. He finished school, he's a medical doctor. He wanted to, he was telling the story himself. He needed a place to do his house job, internship. So UBTH, where he graduated from, the natural place where he should apply. Then he looked by himself and decided by himself that he does not know anybody powerfully placed there that will help him get a place. So he did not even bother applying, even though he wanted the place seriously. He now went to another university very far away, the teaching hospital, where he knew somebody and told the person, please talk to this person, I'm going to be applying for this post. So they said, no problem. Let me make the long story very short. He went to that university. One thing went against the other. They did not employ him, where he knew everybody. Then the place where he refused to apply, I employed everybody that applied because they needed more than the applications they got. I don't know whether I get my point. Assuming that 70 people applied, they wanted to employ 80. So without even checking who you knew, who you did not know, once you are a serious graduate, in fact, being one of their own products, good. They just employed everybody. Boom. But my brother did not apply because he said to himself, the Lord is not my refuge and my fortress. There is no man in whom I can trust in this place. He came to give me the testimony himself. It's a testimony. A good lesson in life. You don't know it's a testimony. You should rejoice that you have been corrected. Say, Lord, I worship you. I won't do it again. So now he's learned the lesson. Whether he knows people or not, it doesn't matter. The worst they can do to me is say no. No, so. I will say of the Lord, how do you abide under God's shadow throughout this new year? Listen, this is what you do. Constantly, as life brings forth its challenges, even before it does. For example, let's rise to our feet. Let's begin to pray. All right? I was not supposed to speak for this long, but I do that all the time. I was saying, as you step into the year, it's a new year, you speak over every month. They'll tell you that, this is Harmattan season. People always fall sick at this time. You will say of the Lord that he's still the healer in that season. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, they say all the one that's very common, they say Ember months is a month in which accidents are plenty. You will say of the Lord that even in those seasons, he's your protector, he's your defender, he's your safety. You get what I'm saying? What we do is constantly. You know, I say there's an article I wrote long ago where I was quoting actually a proverb from Western Nigeria. They say if you want to step on cool ground, you know what you do? You throw water ahead of you. So what you do before you step into 1 month, you throw water into that month. That this month, let me tell you, God is in charge of every one of my affairs in you. Are you getting my point? My steps are ordered by the Lord in this month. This 2013, I am not my own. I belong to somebody who has control of every minute, every second, every hour. Are you getting my point? Every day of this year, I belong to somebody who has control. Let's read this again. Open your Bibles again. Psalm 91. Now, let's read it again. As we go on, we'll be interrupting and uttering some words. Read it to yourself. Read it like you are talking through yourself into the realm of the Spirit. Let us read together. I will interrupt once in a while, and then we'll modify some things. The Bible says, he who dwells, let's start, in this secret place of the Most High. Verse 2. I will say of the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Let's pause there. Everybody, please just close your eyes. Just look at this year in your mind and talk to the year. We say, I will say of the Lord. I'm talking about the Lord to somebody. Say, 2013, listen to me. Use your own words, all right? The Lord is my refuge and my fortress. Speak to the year. This year, listen. The Lord is my provider. He's my defender. He's my healer. This year, the Lord is the one that's perfecting everything that concerns me. There are those who are watching what the financial analysts are saying. This year, what is CBN saying? How will the markets flow? You know, I told you the other time, I bought a book. And the author of the book, a Nobel Prize winner, I think 1998, he won the Nobel Prize in economics. He said he found out that the chief financial officers of great corporations, they analyzed their predictions for the following year. And all their predictions on the average were totally useless. Yet, he said what was worse was that the people did not even know it. Don't listen to what people are saying outside about what the year holds. Speak to the year and say, listen, I am telling you of the Lord. He's my refuge. He's my healer. He's my provider. My business will grow not because dollar improved or naira improved against the dollar, or dollar became worse against the naira, or because fuel became no longer scarce or whatever. No, but because the Lord is my refuge and my fortress. Speak to that place of employment. You're looking for employment somewhere where your heart desires. You don't know anybody. Very good. Now speak to it and say, I'm telling you of the Lord. He's my provider. He's my employer. My God, in whom I trust. Now let's go to verse 3. Open your Bibles again. Just go to verse 3. Let's read it together. Read it, whichever version you are reading. Read it out loud and read it to yours. That is, so that you know you are reading into the realm of the Spirit. It says, for it is he who delivers me. Save me there. It is he who delivers me from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. It's important to say it again. It is he, the Lord, who delivers me from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. It is not vaccination that's going to deliver you. It is the Lord that's delivering you. And listen, let's not be afraid of diseases. They say, okay, chicken pox is all over the place now. Listen, talk to chicken pox. Say, oh boy, sit down. Let me tell you of the Lord. Are you getting my point? I don't want that to say, oh, don't worry, just get it once. At least you won't get it again. What is wrong with not getting it at all? Let's bear that testimony in this year. Let's read that verse 3 again. It is he who delivers me from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. From every disease that is flying up and down, it is God that delivers me. Not my own wisdom, not my own knowledge, not because I'm vaccinated. It is God that delivers me. You know, when the Bible talks about the snare of the trapper, it's very important too. The other day I was talking with my father-in-law, and he loaded a recharge card on his phone, and he tore the paper after. He said, always tear the paper of your phone, recharge card. I said, why? They robbed somewhere. A man loaded the recharge card, you know the way, and threw away the paper. And the paper was lying somewhere around where the robbery took place. So police came, picked the paper, they traced whoever loaded the card onto his phone and went and arrested him. You know the way our police can do something, we pray for them, amen? He was, I bought card, I don't know what you're talking about. Maybe I bought card then, I threw it away. So everyone said, okay, from now, please be tearing your recharge card. I said, I know they tear. Now, there's really where I'm going there. I said, this is a new one I'm hearing of today. Tomorrow now, they say for tearing card, there's a fingerprint that they've now found on cards that are torn, and that one can't they hang people now. I said, hey, wait. This is what the Bible calls the snare of the trapper. These are the snares of the trapper. Are you getting my point? Yes. There are so many traps all over this life that No matter how wise you think you are, the people who are inventing them are inventing newer ones. You know, one day we were talking about, they said 419, 419. It's only when men agree that 419 can catch them. That's one thing you don't hear from my mouth. It's obvious 419 never catch you before. 419 men, they go after greedy people, and they go after legitimate business, righteous business people. You can't be smart. The only one you are smart about is the one that has happened before. You know, when it has happened before, you've heard the story. So next time now, you are careful. Oh boy, the Bible says that there is a heart that devises evil. They are devising a new one every day. You can't deliver yourself. You are not smart enough. You can't say, now they are sacking people. Let me just go to my work on time. Very soon, they say, those who came early today are the only ones that know we had that money missed. That's why they will sack everybody. There's a day, let me not mention the name of the company. They said their big man came to Enugu once and sacked everybody that the phone company wasn't making money. They were not selling in this Enugu district. Sacked everybody, including the driver, the gate man. What has gate man got to do with how many recharge cars you sell? But he was fired. That is why the Bible says, it is he that delivers you from the snare of the trapper. That word fowler, that's what it means. Those who catch fowls. As they call it, a fowler. It's a trapper. It is he that delivers you. Say it again. Close your eyes and say it. It is God that delivers me from the snare of the trapper. There are so many traps in this life. In this 2013, as you travel, there are traps. There are traps of kidnappers. There are traps of armed robbers. There are traps of bad roads. There are traps of corrupt and wicked policemen. There are all kinds of traps. But you are delivered. You are delivered. Say it. It is God that delivers me from the snare of the trapper. Open your Bible again. Let's read verse 4. Say, he will cover me with his feathers. Read it loud. He will cover me with his feathers. And under his wings I will trust. Oh God, this is very important. His truth shall be my shield and my buckler. Listen, no, different people say different things about the year. If you're around here, the day where the first co-workers meeting, what did I emphasize that day? So it's a year of following closer to the Lord, walking closer with God, and the year of having understanding. The word of God is what you need. If I say that, amen.
Amen.
It's important. You read it loud to yourselves. His truth shall be my shield and my buckler. Let me tell you the truth. Only the word of God tells you the truth, though. I hope you understand that. Think about the situation of your life. Only the word of God tells the truth. Will you live long or live short? Read the Bible. The doctor does not know. They don't know. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes when they are treating people, they kill the person in the process. Not because they are wicked people, because they are human beings. That's all. That's all. Nobody can decide that there's no way you can look outwardly and decide whether you will make it in quotes, like we say in life, or you won't. The only place you can decide from is where? The word of God. That is why, declare over this year again, this 2013. Say, I will not live by what I see. Say it loud. I will not be moved by what I hear. I will be moved only by the word of God. Say like you believe it. His truth shall be my shield. His truth shall be my shield. His truth shall be my buckler. Say, let's go to verse 5. Say, I will not be afraid of the terror by night, or the arrow that flies by day. You know why he's saying that? Because he has said, the Lord is my refuge and my fortress. These are consequences of that statement. I want to close now. As you declare that word over every situation in your life, as you magnify God over every situation in your life, listen, there are times people will look at you and wonder whether you are normal. I don't know whether I get my point. When everybody is afraid, as you know, I tell this story all the time. I still remember those days. You know, people say, now your country is bad. I laugh. I say, obviously, you were not You were too small when country was very bad. You were very small. The days of Sapam for like 10 years after, when country was very bad, for those who were living in Enugu, how many cars did Enugu have on the roads? Those narrow roads that time were very free. I remember when I came to Enugu in 2000 and then 2001, my friend said, there's a passenger that caused all this problem. That is because there was no traffic jam. That before, where was traffic jam? They were not used to it. That there were many cars. They went into UNTH then. To park became a problem. They said, this is new. This is new. Now, who did buy motor before? Now, the point I'm making is that those days, people will sit down, and they still do it now, maybe because that was just my own season. People will sit down and gather and complain. I was telling my wife yesterday that some of my colleagues will leave. They'll marry maybe 2000, which year are we now? 2013. Hey, I think they married 2012. Maybe the wife born Pekin in December 2012. 2013, January, they will travel for one complete year. And listen, they couldn't afford the ticket to say, okay, let me come home and check my family. And I got to look and say, oh boy, you try. You leave this wife where you just married and this Pekin where you just born 1 year. You know, the man. This is where I'm going. I'm telling you the truth. God is my witness. I was not afraid. Country was bad. The people I'm talking about, they are medical doctors. You see, the senior ones have abandoned wife and children and gone to Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Oman, where else? All those places. And I remember I used to cross my hand like that. I said, I ain't leaving my family with anybody. And people were looking like, what are you relying on? You know the interesting thing? I can't even remember. I wasn't even relying on God. I don't know whether I get my point. Oh, I pray you get what I'm saying. I was relying on God, though. You understand what I'm saying? But I was not trying to say that, no, God will give me something. God will do something. No. I was like, I don't care. If you like, do something. Don't do anything. But this one, I am not going to do it. Why? Because the Bible says you will not be afraid. Not as if you say, I refuse to fear. No. There's a case of I refuse to fear. There's a case in which you're not afraid. You didn't even know there was something to be afraid of. How does it come? Because ahead of time, you are declared, He's my shield and my buckler. He's my fortress. He's my high tower. And how did I declare that? You've heard me say this thousands of times. Before then, I had read the scripture. Shortly after you said this, I read the Bible one day, and I saw he said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. It settled in my mind that people like me are not supposed to run because of economic hardship. I swore to everybody I would never queue in an embassy. Because Nigerians will go at 3 a.m. Ha! It is vain for a man to rise up early. But guys will rise up at 1 a.m. Finish getting ready at 2 a.m. And travel for 1 hour at that one holy hour and be on Eleke Crescent at 3 a.m. And the American embassy door will not open till 9 a.m. Guys were making money from selling spaces while waiting. Some guys, you know Lagos now. You know Lagos guys. I mean, everything is job, everything is business. The guy going to look, say, why man go sleep? I'll go there and go and queue. When you arrive, you want this spot. The guy don't different. 5K, I come up for you. And people say, you have to move. You have to move. I said, listen. Behold, he causes prosperity to flow towards me like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I said, guys, I'm not joining you. I refuse to. What am I emphasizing? He said, you will not be afraid. He said what? I will not be afraid. Say that. I will not be afraid. Say it again. I will not be afraid. Say it again. I will not be afraid. Listen, what makes you not afraid is not because God get up and say, I'm not afraid. No, it's because you started by saying, He's my refuge and my fortress. Are you getting my point? That is what kills fear. That is what does what? Kills fear. Because you rose up, you face the year. Our time is up. And okay, we'll stay up next Tuesday. Because you face the year and said, listen to me year. Listen to me job. Listen to me future. You know, there are people that, they look at their certificate, look at their father, look at their father's background, look at people on the left and the right, look at the future, say, you win. That is, you have conquered, I have lost. because somebody did not preach this gospel to them. You look at the future and say, let me tell you something you did not know. He's my refuge and my fortress. He's my God, and in him I will trust. Listen, when you say that all the time, address the future like that, next time future shows up, you won't even realize that people are supposed to be afraid of it. You won't even, the way I see people breaking their heads all the time, I must build a house now. If I don't, this will happen. Oh boy, you won't visit. Bring Gary and Granot, we will soak now. He doesn't have Gary, he doesn't have Granot. Why? He has gathered the last 1 year's salary to buy a few bags of cement from Dangote. Listen, tell your neighbor, life has seasons. A house is not allowed to take bread from your mouth. Tell the person now, you are preaching. He said, Pastor Banky, no be a house, my friend, a motor car. Tell the person again, a car is not allowed to take bread from your mouth. To stop you from being generous. This last Christmas, your mother didn't get anything from you. See, my mother understands that I need to buy this car first. Your blessing also understands that you won't come later. Do you understand my point? There are things you don't do. Anything that removes generosity from your soul is not the will of God. You hear what I said? This last Christmas, you know, if you travel because the car never completes. Ask your neighbor, are you a satanist? There's nothing wrong with trekking to the village and singing songs. Abraham's blessings are mine. Yeah, they are mine. Abraham. Chuku the Hafa, this your car is fine. I never buy them. Abraham's blessings are mine. What is it? You will not be afraid. There are some things that won't cross your mind. Anything that removes generosity from you is called idol. What did I call it?
Idol.
He said, you know, I'm planning to travel. Yeah. That time, that guy was saying, desk school fees, man, I'm sorry, I couldn't help him. You know, say, I won't travel. That journey is not of God, amen? It's not. It has stopped you from being a blessing. You should know that trip is not good. I say this all the time. Listen, let me say this before I say what I want to say. In life, you will prosper. See your friends who are laughing at you because they are building houses you have not built. Let me tell you what happened. They will never give out a house in their lives. You will give that, you won't be able to count. One day you will pass. Somebody will say, good morning, sir. I just want to thank you. Say for what? When that time we were wedding, there was this bungalow. You just said that we should have it. You ask your wife, bungalow. You mean I ever bought a bungalow? I said, okay, yes. You just wave it on. No, I'm not making, I don't mean that's a joke. You know, there are things. Can you remember? Okay, assume you have the number of shares that I have. You can't remember the color of the shares you wore 3 years ago. You know that. If I still remember the color of shares you wore 3 years ago, you never get plenty. It's true. I know they abuse you, not truth. It's true now. It's the truth. Are you getting my point?
Yes.
But such will it be with you concerning houses in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, life has seasons. Don't be afraid. That's one message I'd like to preach to young men, young women. Don't be afraid. If all you can do in this season is pay rent in a decent house, pay regularly, don't owe the landlord. Amen?
Amen.
Don't say, well, why is he collecting my money, sir? He's collecting your money because you collected his house. What is all of this thing? You should be a generous man. You should give the man an offering periodically. If after you pay him rent, give him a carton of wine. I mean, be a nice guy. It's a season. What did I call it? A season will come. They will finish building a house for you. Look at it. So I wanted to stay here before. I don't like this part of town again. And you walk out, come out. And you know why you walk out, come out? You all build another house. Why build? They know they sell again. Yeah, I saw that one. I like it a lot. Go and negotiate with him. Give him a price he can't refuse. The Lord is good. Tell your neighbor, season. Your season will come. Amen?
Amen.
I say your season will come.
Amen.
Why did I say all of that? So there's no reason to be afraid. Look at future and say to future. Do it now. Say future.
Future.
He is my fortress.
He is my fortress.
He is my shield.
He is my shield.
He is my provider.
He is my provider.
Therefore, I'm not afraid.
Therefore, I'm not
Before we go, please just give me another minute. Just prophesy over Nigeria. Say, Nigeria, listen to this.
You belong to him.
You belong to my God.
Therefore, I speak to you.
Your wars we cease. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say, therefore, I speak to you. Prosperity is your portion. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say, Nigeria, hear me. You are not breaking. Say it like that.
You are not breaking.
You are not breaking. In the name of Jesus Christ. I command peace within your walls.
I command
prosperity within your palaces.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
We'll continue praying for the country next time. Let's just give the Lord thanks for today. Say, Father, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we worship you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Surely God's goodness and his mercy will follow you all the days of your life, and especially in this January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December 2013, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This will be for you a season of increase that you did not even think about.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You will be immune from deception.
Amen.
Because understanding will be your portion.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.